Welcome. You're listening to the podcast, The Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. Today, let's explore the essence of religion. What is it that you get when you strip away all the metaphysics and theology, which is mostly our imagination anyway, and get to the center of the relationship between humans and their creator? You might say that there are two kinds of people in the world, those who are completely comfortable with their understanding of religion and those who aren't. I'm not comfortable. I'm always looking for a deeper level of understanding. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume that you're interested in search and change as well. So now that I've lost some of my conservative audience, you and I can explore what this essence is about. I think in any philosophical search, it's important to have a sense of the basic principles to serve as a criteria for my decisions. Without such a criteria, I wouldn't know how to accept or reject a new thought, whether my own or something I read. Here's something I've wondered about over the last 25 years. Baha'u'llah, in his book, The Seven Valleys, quotes an Islamic tradition. Quote, "Knowledge is a single point, but the ignorant have multiplied it." Knowledge is a single point, but the ignorant have multiplied it. What could be this single point? If knowledge is a single point, it seems like our podcasts would be a lot shorter than they are. Knowledge is a single point. Okay, in struggling with this idea, I thought about the relationship between a mother and her baby. If we make an analogy between their relationship and our relationship with God, So what are the rules that govern the relationship between a mother and child? Certainly the mother gives love, nurturance, guidance to the child. The child responds with love, respect, obedience, at least most of the time. Does our relationship with God need to be more complicated than that? What does the mother expect from the child? I think the mother expects the child to try to follow her instructions. She doesn't discipline the child if the child is clearly trying but fails to obey. She may apply some discipline at other times if the child seems to be making up his own rules and ignoring hers. And she does this out of her love and concern for the child, not out of anger or hatred. Could it be that simple with our relationship with God? I thought about the young man who asked Jesus about eternal life in Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, "Obey the commandments." The young man said he was already obeying them. Then Jesus added, "Take up the cross and follow me." Now there's little doubt what obeying the commandments means. And there's not much doubt about following Jesus' example of loving service. But what he meant by taking up the cross isn't clear to me. At that time, he hadn't been crucified. He probably wasn't talking about crucifixion anyway. It seems to indicate a burden of some kind. Perhaps the burden of serving others. Perhaps the burden of taking up a set of Christian attributes and leaving behind our worldliness and materialism. That sort of feels right to me, because he also told the young man to give his money to the poor, which the man found too difficult to do. Looking in the Baha'i scripture again for some ideas, God tells us, "My first counsel is this, possess a pure, kindly, and radiant heart, that thine may be a sovereignty, ancient, imperishable, and everlasting." He doesn't say that this is the essence of religion, but he says it's his first counsel, a pure, kindly, and radiant heart. Well, at least that sounds like a good place to be spiritually if we're looking for religious truth. Now, getting back to the analogy of the mother and the child, it's important that the child recognize his mother and see her as an authority in his life. This helps the child to choose correctly when another lesser authority contradicts the mother. For instance, the mother tells him to stay in the yard to play. Do not go out of the yard. His friend calls him to climb the fence and join the friend somewhere else. By recognizing the authority of the mother, the child is able to resolve the conflict and remain obedient. This idea of recognizing authority and using it to create obedience is found in the Baha'i writings. God tells us that, quote, "The first duty prescribed by God for his servants is the recognition of him who is the dayspring of his revelation and the fountain of his laws, who representeth the Godhead in both the kingdom of his cause and the world of creation. Whoso achieveth this duty hath attained unto all good, and whoso is deprived thereof hath gone astray, though he be the author of every righteous deed." Okay, so the first duty is to recognize the messengers of God. Now here comes the second duty. "It behooveth everyone who reacheth this most sublime station, this summit of transcendent glory, to observe every ordinance of him who is the desire of the world. These twin duties are inseparable. Neither is acceptable without the other. Thus hath it been decreed by him who is the source of divine inspiration." Okay, now, we've got the concept of recognizing authority and being obedient, but that's 2 points, not one. It doesn't seem like we've reached the essence yet. What is the single point? Out of curiosity, I did a search on the words essence and religion. I found 2 quotes. Seem to be getting somewhere now. Here's a quote from Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'lláh. "True religion is the basis of divine civilization. Material civilization is like unto the body. Divine civilization is like unto the spirit. A body without the spirit is dead, although it be clothed in the utmost beauty and comeliness. In short, by religion we mean those necessary bonds which have power to unify." Aha. Now we have a single idea. He says, "those necessary bonds which have the power to unify." He continues, "This has ever been the essence of the religion of God. This is the eternal bestowal of God. This is the object of divine teachings and laws. This is the light of everlasting life." That's beautiful. I'm going to read that again. "True religion is the basis of divine civilization. Material civilization is like unto the body. Divine civilization is like unto the spirit. A body without the spirit is dead, although it be clothed in the utmost beauty and comeliness. In short, by religion we mean those necessary bonds which have power to unify. This has ever been the essence of the religion of God. This is the eternal bestowal of God. This is the object of divine teachings and laws. This is the light of everlasting life." Now, from this quote, we are seeing religion as a force for unity among mankind. Those necessary bonds which have power to unify. When a mother has more than one child, think how happy she is when her children are cooperating with each other and helping each other, and how sad she is when they are selfish and trying to control each other, and when one takes advantage of a smaller or weaker child. Surely God wants us to behave like the loving children of one mother. So far, I think I see that the purpose of religion is to unify mankind in harmony and cooperation. The essence of religion has something to do with the bond between each human and God, a bond of love, respect, and obedience, which leads to the unifying of mankind. Here's another quote I found from Baha'u'llah, the Messenger of God. It reflects Jesus' instruction to the young man. Quote, "The essence of religion is to testify unto that which the Lord hath revealed, and follow that which he hath ordained in his mighty book." End quote. Well, that takes me back to the 2 points again. But perhaps those 2 points are really the same point. What I mean is, if quote, testifying to what the Lord hath revealed, end quote, following what he ordained in his mighty book, close quote. If those are both aimed at unity, at creating those necessary bonds that have the power to unify, then maybe we have found the single point. I don't know. I'll have to think about that some more. Well, we started out looking for the kernel of truth, the essence of religion. We've wandered around a few ideas. Speaking for myself, I haven't quite boiled it down to the single point that is mentioned in the Islamic tradition, but I think I've narrowed it down a bit. I hope you'll continue to think about the necessary bonds which have the power to unify. And if this kind of spiritual exploration agrees with you, you're welcome to join us at any time. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida call 850-543-2129. Look on the internet at www.baha'i.org for the international site, or www.baha'i.us for the U.S. site. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is www.EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. If you'd like to look up other Baha'i podcasts, go to our website, EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. At the bottom are links to other Baha'i podcasts. I'm Ron Fraser. You can email me at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.